let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us. Robert Maxim back with us from the Legacy episode series, Worldly and Past Life Visions, Atlantis, Lemuria, Ancient Technologies, Spiritual Sciences. It's the critically acclaimed Legacy episode series by our guest, Robert Maxim. Five episodes called A Must-Read for Every Truth Seeker. The author's real visions of previous lifetimes in Atlantis, Lemuria, and other worlds where these lives took place. The series, 30 Years in the Making, features advanced scientific and spiritual concepts with evidence. For Robert, these experiences began as a child with sleep time visits to other worlds. They continue in both wake and sleep states. He spent 40 years studying science, religion, and the science of life. Works in the field of information technology. Author of the Legacy series, Robert Maxim, back with us on This Week in America. Robert, welcome back to the program. We're loaded with questions today. Hopefully you're loaded with answers, and this will work out very nicely for both of us.
Let's do it.
We have got to, and again, I'll tell you throughout the program how you can get questions to Robert. You can do them directly to Robert, or you can go to our website. Starting with the first question, I don't believe in the Big Bang happened. Do you, and can you explain?
Well, you know, as I said in a previous show, I really got into trouble for putting science on the spot in college. And honestly, the Big Bang is just a professional fairy tale, or you can say it's a prescription for a full strength Rolaids.
That's interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Now, imagine a baseball player. It runs to second base and then throws the ball back to home plate, to the catcher. Now, the ball reaches home plate in about a second, but question is, how long did it take for the player, the runner, to get to second base? Science accounts only for the ball thrown, not for the player running to second base. Let me explain it this way. According to science, the universe has a radius of 13.8 billion light years, and it's also 13.8 billion years old. So basically, a year is a light year. So time and space is the same thing. So it's 13.8 billion light years in radius. So now think of a galaxy. A galaxy that's very close to that edge, at 13.4 billion light years away. That's the furthest thing we've seen. So 13.8 from 13.4, according to science, that galaxy was created 400 million years after the Big Bang. So let's say that's like the second base. So the galaxy is the runner. 13.4 billion light years is second base, and now it takes light that long to get back over here from it.
Okay.
So over here is home plate, okay? Not really, but let's just go with it.
I'm going with it, yes. You've convinced me, yes. I can visualize that better, so yes, I'm with you.
Okay, so now the question is, how long did bomb material take to get all the way out there in the first place? So that's the time it took the ball player to run over to second base. How old is that galaxy? Or how long was the player sitting there on second base doing nothing until he threw the ball back to home plate? You see, you must add all that time to the age of the universe, but science doesn't take that into account. If they did, the whole of Big Bang falls apart. So not only that, those far objects are moving at light speed from us. And that means light can't come back to us other than some small reminiscent amount of gamma rays and some very slow radio waves or something. But that's not the case. That's not what happens. So how can that be if objects that are traveling at light speed send nothing back? How come we're getting something? Another thing is Doppler shift. And as I show on my website, Doppler shift is a function of energy. It's not a function of distance. Another thing is the Hubble constant. It doesn't hold. Again, on my website, you can see how I have put in the Hubble constant equivalent for every galaxy movement known in the universe. And you look at that chart, it's not aligned, but it kind of looks like this. Yep. So galaxies are not receding from us also, but rather they're traveling towards a central whirlpool, which is called a Great Centaurus Attractor. So we're not going like this. We're kind of going like this, spinning around some vortex. See, nothing that people are shown about the Big Bang is true. It's all false. And don't forget, after the Big Bang happened, it took time for that bomb material to get way out here to that 13.4 billion light year point, and then it took it that same amount of time for the light to get back. That's double the time. Plus, how about the holding time? That's more time too. So, folks, yeah, this is just because the telescopes are at that limit, and because the Hubble constant has been pushed to agree with that distance, because that's what's happened, that's why the Big Bang seems to make sense. But when you add this travel time to second base, it falls apart. I hope that helps.
Interesting. I think that will. So, again, using science, you're able to refute that. The website that Robert mentioned, his main website is rgaetan, that's rgaetan.com. Great information there. When he's saying something, it's backed up. I'm not just saying that. It's actually backed up on the website. Another question, what is the higher self you talk about, and how do you find it?
A lot of soul searching. Jesus referred to it as the small, still voice within, the Father and the kingdom within, the way. It's always with you, but fears and mundane desires silence it. It is the accumulation of positive creative influences in your evolutionary journeys and the intelligence in charge of your soul. It's the boss. It is infinite in nature. It's interdimensional. That's the source that sets up reincarnation missions and your consciousness journeys between dimensions within that huge soulic domain. So the boss is the one that sends your consciousness down here to reincarnate and then takes you back up again towards its domain. So physical life is just one of its planes. It's actually the lowest. To gather experience and expand its intelligence in a positive, infinite way. If your soul were a hard drive filled with directories and files, the higher self would be the user. Your consciousness would be, say, like the mouse pointer that selects and interacts with its programs. So you could say the higher self is then the boss and you're the employee.
Interesting way to describe that. We had a question, and I think you might have just briefly touched on that. Let's see if we can elaborate for a second. How do we achieve the higher self? Once we establish what it is, how do we achieve it? How do we get there?
Well, more like it achieves you.
Okay.
It's the real positive you, the positive collection of all your intelligence interactions as you evolved over time. Consciousness is merely the agent to sample experiences at various dimensional mental levels to feed its growth and regeneration. So yes, you have countless mental levels between here and the higher self, countless. Your visions, your ideas, your emotions, your intuition, even astral travel and awareness after death. All of those are separate mental levels of consciousness that are beneath the higher self. And all of them impact consciousness. So you could say that consciousness is like the main sensor. It's like the probe, like the Voyager probe out there taking photographs of different planets and probing what's out there. That's what you are. That's what you as your consciousness is. And higher self is like Houston Houston Mission Control, in a sense, running the show.
Okay. Interesting. Robert Maxim, our guest on the program, Legacy Series, information available at Robert's website. I'm going to do this one, then I'll give you all the information on how to contact us. Who judges the quality of one's life and rewards or punishes? Interesting.
That is. Well, in reality, no one other than ourselves. Adhere to universal law. Listen to the higher self. Listen to the boss. Judgment is your proportional adherence to the law and to a higher self. People live and choose based on what they know. So judgment is relative to personal wisdom, not another observer. That's why I say, don't interfere with people. Let them live. Don't judge them. But show them how to live. Show them your best. I had a contact in June of 1981 with other beings. And I was told to show others how to live. Now, the first thing that came to mind was, oh, I must know how to live. Wrong. I had to be my own first customer. I had to learn how to live. I have to continue to learn how to live. But my job is to listen to the higher self, and that therein is my reward. Practicing what I learn. And when I practice what I learn, then I am showing others how to live.
Interesting. Robert Maxim, our guest in the program. I hope that answers the question for the listener. If you have a question, you can submit them directly to Robert by going to his website, rgaetan, rgaetan.com. Or you can do it by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Just give us your question, say it's for Robert, and we'll make sure that we get to these on a future program. Information on what Robert's talking about also at the website, unariansunited.com. These are not just websites with a little bit of information there. There is a wealth of information on both of those sites. New question, is the past always with us in our actions, I guess like a subconscious?
Well, yes, indeed. Past and subconscious are pretty much the same thing. It's us, and with us always.
Interesting.
In whatever state we've tamed it. It's up to us to educate or polarize the energy therein with new updated information. Think of it as a reclusive student, and your consciousness is the social worker sent in to try to tame that lower consciousness. So you have the lower self, which is the bad student or the problem child. Consciousness is the social worker or the tutor, right? Now, the lower self doesn't like school. It doesn't like, it detests social workers, and it wants to embezzle you and the social worker with what it knows and what it likes. It doesn't like to follow rules. And it throws a fit when you prove it wrong. So each of us has a heck of a problem to deal with, because we are all problem children. And the best way to prove that is when somebody hits the right nerve and you go off. Perfect example.
Robert Maxim with us on the program. Hope that answered the question. It's fascinating answers to these questions. It's interesting that the listeners are picking up on things that you've talked about and getting a little further explanation. This is interesting as well. How can we tell if what we think are our past lives are real or just our desire to want to believe?
Ah, great. The listener is right on. We have to stop believing and start objectifying, because belief sets us off course. You see, you are your past, all of it. From a million years ago to right now, it's all you. If you're with me so far, then consider that everything that you think everything. It's influenced by what you know. It's influenced by your past, right?
Yes.
But with one exception. The still, small voice from the higher self when it does come through. This voice is your tutor. It's your advisor. It helps dampen past strength, and it deposits overriding knowledge into your subconscious, thus evolving you upward. It tutored to correct it. You pass the test. You move on. You will always have a past. That never changes. But your mission, if you decide to accept it, is to instruct your lower self from progressive and corrective behavior. Correct misconceptions about creation. Learn about universal law and put it to practice. See, when you feel offended, which I'm sure happens in everybody's life more often than we want, myself included, the lower self is at that moment is fighting for its life, and that's why you feel that way. So whenever you feel like you've been offended or you're being challenged and you feel like defensive and then you want to get offensive, guess who's doing that? That's your lower self. And you have to catch it and you have to say, no, sir. Down, boy. Down. Fast.
Do you ever get to the point where you are aware of that? I would think you have no problem with that because you know where the voice is coming from. I guess what I'm asking is, do you ever get to the point where you just thwart that voice, or does it still slip by from time to time?
Oh, I'm definitely not perfect in that. I'm working on it. But eventually we all get to the point where we have mastered it. Could take a couple billion years, maybe. Mm. It's all up to how seriously you take this up. You have to be aware of every thought, and you have to be the tutor that says, that answer is incorrect. That answer is incorrect. And don't let the student get away with the wrong answer. Don't let the student get up and show the class the wrong answer. You must be a great tutor to tell that student, no, sit down, do it again. No, you will not say that wrong answer. You will learn the right answer. And don't forget, correction is the proportional measure of sincerity. Let me repeat that again. Correction is the proportional measure of sincerity. So in those situations where you feel threatened and you feel offended, if somebody's going to hurt you or take your money or accuse you falsely or correctly, whatever, and you feel like, oh, no, this can't happen. It's going to ruin my life or whatever. When you feel that way, you better be aware of it. You better know. And perhaps you do need to correct the situation. But at least if you're aware that your lower self is sparking up and trying to defend itself, if you're aware of that, then you can deal with it and apply the positive answer to that situation.
Another question. How do we know this is not our first life? We've talked a lot about past lives and how we deal with that. How do we know that it's not our past life? And does everybody that's living now have a past life,
at least absolutely.
A past life?
Okay. Absolutely. At least some 10,000 maybe, or 100,000.
Okay.
Development of your soulic intelligence is proof solid enough. Something that experience builds solely from childhood events in this one life. But that's not true. How did I fix a watch at age one? And how did I play a violin at age two? See, that's how well we are retooled by this world to erase pre-child experiences and focus only on the present. Think back. Don't imagine what your early tendencies were, and you will find that your answers are there. If you think back at your childhood and the things you saw, the things you believed, the things you feared, you're going to find out that they have absolutely no basis from this life. But it's up to each in every one of us to put their thoughts back, not to imagine, but to really remember childhood the best you can, you're going to be shocked with what you have tried. You have tried to forget.
Now, I want to go back. You're not going to slip this by me. I knew you were an accomplished musician at age 3. Fixed a watch at 1. Was that just something you pulled out of the air, or was that autobiographical in the statement you just made?
It is fact. My dad had given up. Have you seen those old-fashioned round watches that people used to have?
Oh, sure.
People
would
put in their pockets. Yeah, it was my grandfather's, and my dad praised it, so he gave it to me and said, well, maybe, you know, I can't fix it. You can play with it. So I took it apart, and I found some gears. There were some gears missing. So I memorized the size of the gear, and I went around, and I saw another gear, you know, a couple of gears, and I adjusted them. I kind of bent them a little bit, put them in, tried different gears, put them in, wound it up and running.
At age 1?
Age 1.
And gave it back to your dad and said, I fixed it, you play with it. So that's wow,
right.
That's a fascinating story here. Moving right along, I knew the musicianship at age 3, but I never heard the story at age 1. That's amazing. I love this question. Is the purpose of reincarnation to give us opportunities to get it right and then be able to enter heaven?
I love this. Yes. Okay, now we're getting somewhere.
Yes.
See, getting it right means living universal law and meaning it. When it becomes part of your routine, not just faking it to get a heaven pass, but this is how you are, that you're getting closer to that heavenly realm. You are now acting heavenly, not because you want a free pass up there, because they have better tasting mangoes up there. No. It's because you are in love with it. It's part of you now. Our mission here is to pass on this wisdom that was learned in higher dimensions to the lower self until it can evolve out of this plane. Your true soul, this might be a little hard to conceive, your true soul, your higher self, is already up there. And it sent you down here because there's business that needs to be taken care of. But someday your consciousness will not have to come back down here again if you do good enough job at tutoring. And don't forget that upon death, guess where you go?
Yep, motioning upward there. And well, that ties into the next question, sort of. I didn't mean to cut you off. Do you have more on answering that?
No,
we'll just transition into the next one, which I think ties into that. After death, are you immediately reborn? If not, what happens to you?
Well, some people are. Others do take longer. Our time here is not the same as interdimensional time. In between lives, you're learning on astral planes, like I just mentioned, and preparing for your next mission, whenever conditions are right for it. Time on these inner dimensions. I had an experience in Venus where I spent 100 years, but yet only 2 hours of Earth time transitioned. So how much time you transpire into physical before you come back, it all depends on associations you must make with the people you're born into and when others are going to be born so you can work out and resolve certain karmic conditions. So timing is everything. And this timing for your mission is coordinated amongst various souls. It could take a couple of hours, could take a couple of years. It all depends on the conditions.
Robert Maxim, our guest on the program, that's Maxxim. He's the author of the critically acclaimed Legacy Episode Series. Information, of course, at Amazon. It's autobiographical. It's fascinating reading. It's a great story. And as you're reading it, you need to remember these are things that actually occurred during the lifetimes of Robert. His website is rgaetan, GAETAN.com. Information there on a whole bunch of things, including the Legacy series. New question from a listener. Are there lessons we can learn when we have near-death experiences?
Oh, yeah. Each night, in fact, we have what I could call a miniature NDE or near-death experience. We clutter these experiences with lower emotions and reason that we can't recall them. We can't recall what we did last night, in a matter of speaking. So there again, there's that lower self trying to block the tutor so that not even at night you can remember. But when you sleep, you're basically, your consciousness is floating between your lower self and your higher self. So that's kind of like an NDE.
Interesting. So you're saying basically nightly we have many near-death experiences.
Yes, or even when you take a nap.
Okay, that's...
Something to keep in mind.
Yes, yes. Next question, does your soul evolve?
Around the clock, up and down, sideways and crossways. The purpose of evolution is to coach your lower nature out of this planet, then eventually this dimension. So yeah, evolution is constantly happening.
Robert Maxim, rgaten.com, the website. We'd love to have your question. You can submit it directly to Robert or go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. When we reincarnate, is that life pre-planned?
Yes, pretty much like I just mentioned a little while ago. And glad to see that the listener sees it that way. It's very important that people realize that. The plan is, what will you teach your ego next? And that is the pre-planning that you do. What did you learn upstairs that you need to bring downstairs?
Are we just impacted by our most recent life of a past life of a combination of all past lives? I think it should be or. Are we just impacted by our most recent life or a combination of our past lives?
Yeah, it goes back to planning before being born, which lives you're going to deal with. In each life, you deal with a set of past lives, not all of them. You don't deal with all of your past lives in one incarnation because you would literally go insane if you did. Too much. So you only pick a little bit. Okay. Imagine doing a final in history, government, calculus, music, you know, everything thrown in, and you got 1 hour to do it in. So when you reincarnate, you're probably just going to take chemistry. The next time you're going to take physics, you know, just as an example. You break it up so you can deal with it.
Moving through a number of questions on the program, and I hope we're answering your questions. Submit new ones. We'll get to those eventually. We're going through a bunch of them on the program today. Do you feel that what each soul sows in this life is reaped in the next life?
Yes, from this and also previous lives, both.
Interesting answer. How everything all seems to tie in together. You're doing a nice job today of tying this flow in here and how everything is interrelated. New question. I often hear Trump referred to as a soulless person. I realize they are not being literal, but it got me into thinking, is it possible to be without a soul? Or could he be the reincarnate of one of the shadier leaders of the past? That comes from a Democrat in New York State.
Well, you know, I did not vote Republican, but either way, I don't get into politics, but everything, even air, even atoms, everything has intelligence or soul, everything. So the term soulless really means somebody that's uncaring, somebody that's apathetic. Now, as to who Trump was in his past, I can't reveal that, but I would not call him a past shady leader, maybe the opposite, but I really can't say.
That's safe. You answered the question, so we will move on from there before anybody gets into trouble, because you can't talk about politics anymore. Is it possible that people are living now who actually lived millions of years ago on another planet? He asked of a gentleman who lived millions of years ago on another planet. Is it? The question is it possible? I'll let you answer that.
Yeah. Actually, yours truly, you're looking at one.
Yep.
And the listener is also one. How do I know that? How would he know to ask that question if he had not? Just think about it.
Okay.
So yes, he himself or she did live on another world a long time ago.
And Robert's experiences millions of years ago, you'll read about in the Legacy episode series by Robert Maxim, M-A-X-X-I-M, available at Robert's website, available, of course, at Amazon as well. New question, what is our mission in this life?
Well, let's replay back this entire conversation.
Yes.
But bottom line is to teach our lower nature, our lower self lessons that we learned in between lives, and tame that lower self, not do its bidding, not let it use this body to say what it wants, to do what it wants, to ruin somebody else's life, to convert, to take advantage of somebody else. No, it's to practice universal law. And none of those things that I just mentioned are part of universal law. Universal law is very simple. Everything for everyone else. That's number one. Number two, serve the elements. You can find the answer to everything else based on those two things. Number one, everything for everyone else, nothing for you. Number two, serve the elements. Don't serve yourself. Therein is the entirety of infinite wisdom.
This is a question. You've answered part of this, explained what a soul is. You've talked about that. But then the follow-up to that from this listener is, can we change it?
Oh, yeah. It changes every trillionth of a second, if not sooner. Imagine that the soul is a conglomerate of countless consciousness levels, like pancakes, one stacked on top of the other, or like floors in a skyrise building. Your physical lower self is the basement, you know, underground parking.
Okay.
The sewer. When you die, you get pulled out of the sewer, and your consciousness integrates into one of those higher conscious levels. All these conscious levels are alive all at once. Yes, they are alive all at once. So you have multiple levels of yourself that are actively aware, actively alive, intelligent. They are you living separately from your physical conscious mind. You don't notice them, but they are, shall we say, your sixth sense, ideas, a still small voice, inspiration, etc. And all of them are made of infinite creative energy that you adopted through your lifetimes. So see, you don't just live lifetimes here in this physical environment, but when you die, you are living a lifetime also at these other higher levels of mind. Okay, it's like, let's say the city of Phoenix, Arizona. Okay, let's say that there's 10 million homes in Phoenix. Let's say that nobody lives in those homes except you. So you might, I'm very familiar with Phoenix, that's why I say that.
Okay, yes.
Let's say that you are living one moment in your house in Apache Junction. Then you leave and you live in Mesa, your home in Mesa. Then you live in another one in Higley, another one in Chandler, another one up in Glendale, you know, another one in Central Phoenix. That's what your soul is like. You have different homes. And don't forget what Jesus said. In my Father's house, the Father he referred to was his higher self. In my higher self's home are many mansions. And those mansions are your conscious levels. So begin to look at it that way, okay? That when you die and you feel this great sense of peace and love that you feel, you have just left one house and you have entered into another one. When you pass through that light tunnel, you have just entered into another one. My trip to Venus, I went to hundreds of different conscious levels up there, and they were all different parts of me, and they were all alive, and my consciousness was actually existing within that life force of me. It's a very difficult thing to explain, but hopefully that helps to shed a little bit more information on what the soul is and how it all functions.
I like the analogy of the homes, and they're all empty, they're all yours, and you can go from one to another. That's a great example of what you were talking about. Where does life come from? How did it begin for each of us? And who determines when and how we return in another body? A lot in that question.
Yeah. We can get some information from the previous answer, but again, life comes from intelligent creative energy, which is everything. It's atoms, thoughts, dimensions, everything. The same thing that makes up our soul is the same thing that makes hydrogen and oxygen and gold. The same energy that creates those atoms is what we got. And thoughts are the same energy, basically. We were all born from it and evolved by sampling and combining intelligent relationships here and there. So your intelligence learning plan, the learning plan is what determines how long you stay here. And unless something drastic happens, it takes your life from it, short, and how long you will have to wait to get back. This happens until you, domesticate your lower nature, okay, your basement, and then you're compatible with higher evolved worlds. So you can take this consciousness out of here and you never have to come back.
You're listening to This Week in America, watching quite possibly This Week in America. Our guest is Robert Maxim. We will take your questions on future programs. You can write directly to Robert at his website, rgaetan, rgaetan.com, or go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, do the comments and submit your question for Robert. Rapidly running out of time, a couple more questions probably. Why do these creatures who are apparently visiting us not make themselves known? And do they feel that we could handle it or not?
Our behavior threatens them, believe it or not. That's why they stay away, just as you would if you approached a lion's den. You wouldn't jump in, would you?
No.
They test us, but we fail. That's why they don't stop in. It's not that we're going to panic, no. It's because we are going to attack them. Either with our hands or with our thoughts. Or we're going to stop evolving and escape responsibility of coaching our ego. That's an interference. Okay, I'll give you an example. Let's say that you're doing schoolwork, and this very beautiful young lady walks in front of you, and you put your homework down, and you start watching that beautiful lady that walked by and admiring her beauty. You took your focus out of your work. You were interrupted. Well, this is what some of these contacts can do. If you're not ready for contact, you will take your eyes off of what you're supposed to be doing with yourself and your mission. You're going to take off on this escape mechanism, thinking about, oh, how wonderful it would be to be with these beings and imagine their planets, I would live like a king, whatever. I mean, that's why they can't approach. So besides, think of the impact that this would have to the political, civil, religious, scientific establishments.
Yes.
Now, as a kid, when I saw Grandma, I got so excited because Grandma was not as strict as Mom. And I felt that I could get away with just about anything that Mom didn't allow. So Do you think for a second that seeing aliens is like visiting grandma? Think again. You have no idea how strict they are. And until we conquer that ego in our establishments, humble down the politicians, religions, and open up, it's going to be a no-go. Mm-mm.
Next question ties into that. I've seen a number of recent news stories on the military encountering UFOs. In December, the Defense Department released several videos of encounters between Navy jets and unidentified craft. In one video, it appeared that the craft was part of a fleet. Other similar videos and stories have also been in the news. Your thoughts, please. Could these be from other planets?
Oh, yes. Matter of fact, I posted these videos.
Yes.
These video links on my website. So I encourage the listener to go to my website, the Science tab, and then visit the write-up titled Bible and UFOs. I have several, not just from Earth, but from the Moon, Mars, and Saturn. Also, go to the Evidence tab and have fun there. I have Peruvian friends that actually have sightings on demand, and they actually invite the media, the press, and they film them live. So, actually, Rick, if you think it would be appropriate and there is sufficient time, or we can leave it for next time, I can share my screen and show some of these pictures to our listeners.
We've got a few minutes. Do you mind do it now or hold it off until next time?
Let's go ahead and do it next time.
Okay.
It might...
In fact,
so let's, sorry, listeners. We'll do it next time.
Let's start with that the next time with the pictures. Time always goes by so quickly, and that's certainly the case today. Let me close with this question, and then we'll open with the pictures the next time. How advanced are their spacecraft? Are they more advanced than we can understand? And you are a man of science. Can you understand their craft?
Well, yeah, but try explaining an iPod to a chicken.
Okay.
That's a comparison I can make. In Legacy, I provide some technical information on how these craft work and how they're built. That's a most basic explanation, but flight logistics and energy mitigation in both air and space, I also describe that on my website, but that's just for beginners. I am definitely not as technically as advanced as our brothers are. Just know a little bit, but you can saturate your taste for technology if you read Legacy. You will find that information there and also on the website.
And the website is rgaetan, that's GAETAN.com. You can click on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Another website that is really of value is unarianseunited.com. Robert will be back soon. We'll open up and talk about some of the pictures we didn't get a chance to get to today. We will take remaining questions, new questions coming in. If you go to Robert's website and submit a question, we will answer that on the air. If you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and submit a question, we will do the same. Robert, the time really flies by. A lot of great information, a lot of substance to the program today to you. Yeah. With your questions and answers. Thank you once again for being with us on the program. We look forward to having you back, and we'll do the slideshow. So if you're not watching the video version of this on YouTube, you'll want to make a point to do that for the next episode, because we'll have some very compelling video with Robert doing the narration on it. Robert, thank you so much for being with us on the program. We will see you next time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You're listening to This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us. Legacy series available at Amazon, at Robert's website. Link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.